We want to talk tonight about yielding personal rights. One of the basic causes of anger and worry is dealing with our personal rights. I have a right. It was well said that at the time of the French Revolution, where blood was running in the streets, everything was being overthrown, the champion phrase was, we have our rights, we are demanding our rights. In England, about the same time, the Wesleys were preaching, saying, you need to fulfill your responsibilities. And the result of demanding rights turned into revolution and a horrible, horrible time of bloodshed. And the emphasis on responsibilities turned into revival. And many people were being won to the Lord. Let's be careful about how much we demand our personal rights. A pastor sat at a conference table with a family that had not been able to achieve harmony for the last several months. They had come to ask how they could get this accomplished. Each one was given a sheet of paper and asked to describe the last three situations in which he lost his temper. After a short pause, the 10-year-old raised his hand. Should I choose three from today or one from the last 3 days? When this project was completed, each was asked to list all of the rights each felt he had as a member of the family. And here are some of the rights listed. Number one, the right to express personal opinions without being jumped on. Number two, the right to be accepted as an individual. Number three, the right to plan how free time will be used. Number four, the right to privacy. Number five, the right to earn and spend money. Six, the right to choose friends. And seven, the right to control the use of personal belongings. Each one was asked then to review the recent situations that they had described and identify if a personal right had been violated. In each case, each saw that there was a direct connection between the two lists. They had their rights violated. That erupted in the argument and the loss of temper. The family was given the following ideas to consider. Personal responsibility accompanies personal rights. Personal rights related to anger. There are few family arguments that cannot be traced back to personal rights that have been violated. When these rights are identified and fully committed to God, an entirely new perspective is gained in family harmony. I'll give you two case studies. Two teens explained their problems, one illustrating the right to control the use of personal property. My conflict is with my sister. She took my clothes out of my closet without asking me. I got very perturbed and I asked her why she didn't ask me. I would have considered lending something to her if she would have requested it. Then I lost my lost control of my temper and started yelling, kinda. Second study, the right to divide housework with others in the family. Today, my brother was cleaning our room, his side. He found my junk on his side. I had thrown it away, but somebody had gotten it out. He hates me, and he'd been throwing junk on my side that wasn't mine. I hadn't read my Bible, and being out of fellowship, I hit him on the head with some cardboard. That's how it started. During our fight, he swore and used bad language. He hates me more now. My parents won't spank him like they should. That means like they did me. If they used more discipline, he wouldn't be like this at all. So some pretty icky family squabbles. We'll look at four steps in yielding personal rights and kind of focus in on the girl and her clothes. Number one, identify the rights involved. In the case of the girl whose sister takes her clothes, there are at least two rights involved. She explains further, the right to control the use of her own clothes. My sister is in eighth grade. I don't know how old this girl was. She really doesn't wear the same size clothes I do, but she borrows mine anyway. Then, instead of hanging them up, she crumples them up in a ball, throws them under the bed. This gets me so mad that we're almost always fighting. Then came out the right to have her mother understand her position. To make matters worse, my mother sides with her whenever I say anything. One day I bought a new pair of slacks and my sister wore them after she got home. She folded them up and put them away. I thought that was rather strange until I went to wear them. She had fallen while wearing them and one whole knee was ripped out. Identify the rights involved. Then consider the concept of transferring these rights to God. Brother Jeb was sharing with us about our resources, and we recognize that talking about our rights is just that illusion that everything belongs to God. Everything we have, our life, our health, everything belongs to Him and is given on a day-by-day basis. So we have no rights to all this stuff, see, but we assume we do. We think we own them. So consider the concept of transferring these rights to God as they actually are in reality. In the discussion that followed, this teen learned that the rights to her clothes could not be transferred without also transferring the ownership of the clothes. Rights and responsibility accompany ownership of personal property. Since in her thinking she owned the clothes, she maintained the rights and all the responsibility for her clothes. If she mentally transferred the ownership to God, then God would assume the chief responsibility to protect her clothes as well as the rights to their use. Pastor, this may sound strange, but have you ever thought about dedicating your clothes to God? Girl, that does sound strange. I've never heard of doing that. Pastor, an effective Christian will dedicate whatever he acquires to God so that the real responsibility of protection and effective use will rest with the Lord and not upon his own abilities. Girl, what if I dedicate them to God and my sister still borrows them and ruins them? A principle comes out. God will always take good care of his own property. Pastor, when you dedicate your clothes to God and she continues to take them, she is not taking your clothes. She's actually taking God's clothes. There's a key there, you see. The idea is you're not so mad. You're a little afraid for her because she's messing with God's clothes. He went on, when this happens and you share the problem with the Lord, you will see how powerful he really is. He is bigger than your sister. He can place it in your sister's heart to take care of the clothes if she borrows them, and even to hang them up after she wears them. Girl, this sure sounds strange. Pastor, would you be willing to try it? And so step number three, transferring ownership to God. This transfer of ownership was done through a sincere prayer of dedication. Before she prayed, the pastor shared the story of Abraham dedicating his son Isaac upon the altar, giving him away to God. Genesis 22, 1 to 10. The girl was encouraged to picture herself kneeling at an altar and placing all of her clothes on that altar, just as Abraham did with his son. The pastor suggested the following prayer, something like, Lord, right now I dedicate all my clothes to you. From this moment on, they don't belong to me anymore, but to you. You have the right to the way they're used, and I'm responsible under you to take care of them. Then she bowed and sincerely prayed that prayer. So step number four, purpose to thank God, whatever the outcome. This concept of thanking God for whatever he allows is the key to yielding rights. It predetermines the idea that God may test her sincerity by allowing her sister to wear and even misuse the clothes. Are you going to take back the right? Are you going to take back the responsibility? Are you going to assume the anger for what she's doing? Or are you really going to let God be the owner? The key to determine if you have fully yielded a personal right is the anticipation to thank God whatever the outcome. If her sister misused her clothes, she would still be able to thank the Lord, because this would be an opportunity for her to prove to him that she really did give her clothes to him. She would also have the confidence that the Lord would use this situation for his own glory, whether it would be to teach her new lessons in trust or to let her sister see a new attitude in her. So, 4 days later, she returned with this report. Girl, it worked! Pastor, looking up from whatever he was reading, what works? Girl, giving my clothes to the Lord. I can hardly believe what happened. I didn't tell my sister or anyone else about our talk, but since that time, I haven't had one fight with my sister. She only borrowed my clothes once, but for the first time, she actually came home and hung them up. She even ironed the blouse she wore. I just can't get over it. From this experience, the girl was able to apply these 4 steps in regard to other rites. And so here are some rites that we may take to the altar. How about our health, our reputation, our possessions, our time, our money, even our future? So we can go through this thing pretending that it's all ours, demanding our rights, being huffy puffy about anybody using those things, or we can give it to him. And if it goes away, that's his choice. Amy Carmichael was the one who said, "I take all my possessions, I hold them on an open hand. I don't grasp them tightly, because if God takes them away, it really hurts when you're holding them tightly. You just leave them on an open palm, and he can take them whenever he wants. It's his to take."